Very good evening to you. Welcome to The Sound of Football. I'm Graham Sibley, and as usual, I'm joined by Terry Fellon and Jan Bilton. Well, it's been a week. It's been a week in football for managers, really. All the usual suspects have been in crisis again, you know, albeit for a few minutes at a time. But the biggest shocks over the last 2 weeks were about a manager who lost a job and another manager who got a job. The manager who lost the job was, of course, Nigel Atkins, who, it has to be said, was a huge surprise when he was when it was announced that he was sacked and then almost instantaneously replaced at a very quickly organised press conference. And the other news that preceded that was the news that Pep Guardiola, the Chelsea manager-elect, was in fact not going to Chelsea at all. He was actually going to Bavaria instead and getting up with a nice cushy deal over in Bayern.
Turned up at the wrong inauguration.
So, I'm going to start with you, Jan, this week. What was your initial reaction when you heard about Nigel Atkins?
You said there that it was a hastily arranged press conference. I don't think that was the case. Certainly the new manager, whose name Terry can help us out with.
The new manager of Southampton, you said? Yes. Saying that I can help you out with that?
Oh, yes. You must know, he's the former manager of Espanyol. Come on.
You must mean Mauricio Pochettino.
So who's that, sorry?
You mean Mauricio Pochettino. Yes. Obviously, that's what you mean.
That's what I was thinking, yes. Yeah.
Staggered by the lack of
research. I
couldn't
remember if it was Maurizio or Maurizio, actually. Yes, I didn't want to embarrass myself. Mm. Anyway, what was I saying? Yes. I didn't think that was hastily arranged at all. And he even alluded to that such when he said he'd been researching the club for a number of weeks, if not probably months. So he had been lined up for a long time. And certainly what I read in the press, however true that is, over the weekend, that was a done deal some time ago.
Yeah, I mean everything seemed to be in place for him. I suppose what it really was the fact that Atkins had brought Southampton up from the rocks basically and to the heights of the Premier League and then just summarily just told to
I mean it's a little distasteful you could say, but I mean I suppose from the owner's point of view he's got a manager who's got them as far as he can and he's potentially looking at he's even been quoted as saying I forget the name of the owner. As I forgot the name of the manager, but he's quoted as saying that he wanted Southampton to be a top four club within the next few years.
Top four.
That's what he said.
What, top four of the rest of the league? Not top four of actually of, going...
No, just to clarify, of the actual Premier League. Now, that was certainly my understanding of his top four.
Really?
That's what he said.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, is this man just utterly deluded?
Well, he could be utterly rich.
Well, I suppose he'll know how much money the club has got at its disposal.
Yeah, but you have to be incredibly stinking rich to get into the top four nowadays, don't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, yes, no question. Well, the top four are made up of who at the moment? Manchester United, rich, tick. Manchester City, rich, tick.
Chelsea,
yeah. And who are the other ones?
It's either going to be Arsenal or Tottenham.
Arsenal or Tottenham, yeah. Both of which are by any definition rich. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not on their uppers, are they?
No, I mean, Arsenal have just... agreed to, what is it, £100,000 a week for Theo Walcott. So that suggests that they've got some wedge. They're giving him £3 million just for, as a bonus, just to say. Yeah. You know.
I mean, it may be slightly ambitious to go for that, but that's what he's quoted as saying. Well, so maybe he's thinking, if I want top four, I want somebody who can take me up there. So.
Well, I suppose it's good to have ambition, I suppose, isn't it, really?
It's, of course, yeah. I mean, well, or is it? I don't know. I mean, given Southampton's recent... travails. I wouldn't blame many Southampton fans for thinking that actually what we want is just a football club.
Yeah.
And ambition is all well and good as long as you've got the cojones to actually see it through.
Yeah.
As long as you've got the wedge. And if you don't have the wedge, then in fact ambition can be a problem because you end up spending more money than you got. You end up like Portsmouth.
Yes.
Or indeed like Southampton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or worse, like Portsmouth. Yeah. Who are, I believe the technical expression is fucked.
Yes.
Is that an accounting term?
I think if you look in any sort of like picture dictionary, it has like a picture of Portsmouth FC, but next to the word fuck.
Yes, indeed.
They are well and truly boned.
Yeah. Boned. Well, I mean, there's the biggest, best hope they have, I think, of surviving is a supporter based consortium, which is great. I love supporter owned clubs, fantastic, all for it. Hope they succeed, but they've got a lot of work to do before they put it off, because it's just an absolute minefield. There's so much money involved and so many people who are owed money by whatever's left of that football club. It's a nightmare.
Portsmouth could very well be playing in the Wessex League and the FA Trophy next season.
Mm. Well, yeah, I mean, we're moving away from topic slightly, but I mean, look at Coventry City, for instance. I mean, they're thinking of moving to Hinckley because they can no longer afford to stay in their actual stadium, the Rico Arena, and that's just a ridiculous situation to find yourself in. Hinckley's a conference north club, I think, or even lower than that, a non-league ground. Coventry City
and
is a non-league ground.
Hinckley aren't actually doing that well themselves.
No.
They're almost...
No. Well, who knows? Maybe some kind of merge is in order.
Yes, they were unable to fulfil a fixture before Christmas.
But ambition, yes, can be expensive and can be fatal. And my own club, Crystal Palace, will have his own story about what happens when chairmen get ambitious and they write cheques that they can't pay. I can't believe Sunderland haven't made a few mistakes down the years of a similar nature, although they're a very well supported club and robust. But you know, it does happen. So. Yeah, I mean, Nicola Cortez is the guy's name, and he's the guy who took the decision. The decision is a strange one, though. The timing is strange. I mean, Adkins, I'm not surprised that Adkins is no longer... Well, hang on, let me rephrase that. If at the end of the season Southampton had stayed up, I wouldn't have been surprised if Adkins had been sent on his way. In business, if you have a short-term project... then you'll hire someone to do that short-term project, and when it's done, you'll get rid of them, and that's the end of it. Mm. And that's okay, because everyone understands all of that, and they shake hands beforehand, they usually sign a contract to that effect, and if they succeed, they usually walk away with a big bonus and their heads held high. This perhaps isn't too dissimilar, maybe. Maybe deep down, everyone, all parties knew, this is a championship lower division coach, he's not an experienced Premier League coach. And I want a team, I want a club that, to match my ambitions, they're going to need to have a coach who's better than that. And that's not going to be Nigel Adkins, and so at some point I will get rid of him and replace him with someone else. It's just the timing seems strange. You know, it's the middle of the transfer window, middle of the season, they're not exactly safe, and it's a big transition.
I suppose this guy
doesn't speak English, but although I saw him before the game against Everton, and he seemed to be
talking,
communicating to Ricky Lambert before the game started.
I guess the idea behind it is that he's got 2 weeks to get a few names in.
But then why then? Why not after Christmas? Why not before Christmas?
True.
All very strange. Mm. He'd obviously been as you say, Jan. He said in his press conference that he'd been researching the players for some weeks, so he must have known it was coming. Odd arrangement. In many respects, it's probably nothing wrong with it. I mean, Nigel Adkins walks away with his head held high. Job done. Yeah. Mission accomplished.
Maybe.
Probably even with a little bonus.
Maybe the new guy was just waiting to see what decision would be made about the Bayern Munich job.
Maybe he was.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which, of course, was announced... Just the day or so before that, wasn't it? That Pep Guardiola, the man who's been on a nice sabbatical since retiring, I think is probably the best word from Barcelona.
Mm.
And he had it looked like the world was at his feet, and of course he was going to come to the best league in the world.
Naturally,
of course he was, and so he did.
You did, yep. The Bundesliga.
Yeah.
You made the right choice. To one of the biggest clubs in the world as well.
Yeah, so tell me, I mean, like, you know, has he gone mad? I mean, like, come on. I mean, like, you know, he had the chance to go to Chelsea and sort of like have any money you like, or go to Bayern, like an incredibly successful club with rich history and tradition, solid infrastructure.
Yes.
Excellent fan base that actually more than pays for the club.
And with huge reserves of cash, which are their own.
Ah,
belong to the actual club, and they don't belong to any individual. Bayern Munich is a club that has a strong youth policy. So let's run some names down here. Let's talk Thomas Müller, Toni Kroos, Bastian Schweinsteiger, David Alaba, and a few others who I can't remember at this time, but I'll probably be flagellated for not remembering. All homegrown, all top players, and yes. All come
and
through
all,
the Real
all, things. All players that, that Chelsea would gladly pay more than £20 million for.
And then you've got Javier Martinez, and you've got Manuel Neuer, and Franck Ribéry, Mario Gomez, players that have been brought in with for big money. So here's a football club that's got a fantastic youth policy, fantastic youth players, and money to spend on top players and the ability to attract those players because they're based in Munich. And anyone who's been to Munich will know what that means and what a wonderful place it is and what a great place it is to live and work, I would imagine. Mm. They're a solid ownership structure. They've got people at the club who have been there for many, many years, and a system for him to just settle into. You know, frankly, he'd be mad not to accept a job like that. Absolutely insane. The only surprise is how surprised everyone was, because it had been on the cards, talked about, his people were talking with Bayern's people. But I think because the speculation, as it turns out it was, about him going to Chelsea was so strong that nobody genuinely believed that he would go to Bayern, that he would end up going to Chelsea. But then when you look at Chelsea, and we don't have to go into Chelsea's virtues, everyone who listens to this podcast knows about Chelsea, you know, you compare them to how I've just described Bayern, and then again, you'd be a maniac to take the Chelsea job, an absolute maniac, when you've got the Bayern job sitting there waiting for you. Because it was always going to be the case that Jupp Heynckes, the current coach, was going to leave, and, you know, he'll almost certainly inherit a team that's won the Bundesliga title. And probably finished at the very least in the final four of the Champions League as well. So he's in a very good place, and he'll be given money to spend to bring in some of his own guys as well, I'm sure. Yeah. So we'll see some nice big fat signings coming in as well. Mm. So it's a fantastic move for both Bayern and for Guardiola. Mm. Really is, and it's very exciting for those of us that watch the Bundesliga. Very much looking forward to next season.
Yeah, it's interesting with speculation over Jurgen Klopp as to which Premiership club he'll be going to. When you think, well, actually, no, he'll probably be staying put, won't he?
Jurgen Klopp, why would? Yeah, I mean, I don't know why Jurgen Klopp would go. The only club that Jurgen Klopp would move to would be Manchester United, and I don't think that he would. His stock is sufficiently high enough to take that gig. Because you know he's developed Dortmund pretty much from scratch after them almost going out of business in 2005, and he's developed this fantastic team, and he's got them just where he wants them, and he's also signed a big long-term contract. He's a club builder, and again, I mean, he certainly wouldn't fit at Chelsea, because I mean, he'd only have 6 months to do the job, and he needs more than that. He doesn't have that kind of track record, and besides, I mean, you know. He's getting paid a big wedge of money. The club is more than solvent. He turns up every other Saturday to a stadium's packed with 80,000 people, and he's working with guys like Mario Götze, Marco Reus, Robert Lewandowski, Mats Hummels, Neven Subotic. Some fantastic players, world-class players. I mean, why would you want to leave that situation? Yeah. I find it extraordinary that his name is being linked with almost out of desperation.
Yeah.
It's like, he's good. He must want to come to England. Why?
But... do you think, Jan, that is actually the key of it? Is it desperation? I mean, is it? Can anybody really say with their hand on their heart that the Premier League is the best league in the world right now?
No, not really. I mean, I think what Terry's just gone through about the strengths of the German league.
And the fact as well that the FIFA Team of the Year was entirely made out of La Liga players, which
from two clubs apart, yes. Minus one.
I think, from my point of view, I think going back to what you were talking about on the surprise of the announcement, I think that had a lot to do with a lot of the speculation about him being linked to Chelsea. There's no speculation; he was linked to Chelsea. But also, I think that morning in some of the Red Tops, they ran a story saying that he would love to come to England. And then a few hours later, he was in Munich.
That was funny, that
it's nice to see that happen. They got the gauge perfectly well.
I wonder if that was just playing with Chelsea fans. I think it was just utterly toying with them. I bet they knew it all along.
Top story on Five Live on their sports section, first thing in the morning. And you're away when people, Five Live listeners, woke up in the morning that morning that he got that job, he announced the job at Bayern, saying, and the interview saying, in an interview with the FA, yeah, he said he would love to come to England. And then a few hours later, it's like, well, actually, he's gone to Germany. Yeah.
Maybe he's meant, I'd like to come to England just to have a look at the history. Yeah, I want to work in Germany.
I mean, yeah, it does demonstrate that, you know, don't rely too much on the FA for a news source. Because and it was clearly, I mean, he was doing an interview for the FA on their 150th anniversary. He was being polite. And I'm sure he was, unless, you know what, that's a nice thing to be polite. You know, because we say a lot about the FA, but 150 years is a long time. Yeah. If you're not, you can't be polite to the FA on their 150th anniversary, then when can you be, frankly? Yeah. And so that's all he was doing. He was just saying, you know, yeah, and I'm sure he means it. He's a young man. He'll only need 3 years at Bayern and they'll move him on. No question. And don't think, I mean, the other thing about it is don't think that he won't be under pressure. He will have more time, but it's one of the most pressurised jobs in world football. And those guys that I was talking about earlier, Uli Hoeneß, Rummenigge, you know, Beckenbauer, and Matthias Sammer, the sporting director. Those guys have got big egos, and they will expect results, and they will cause him problems because they're not sure. They won't, like, if things aren't going well, they'll be the first to go to the papers saying how rubbish everything is and how disappointed they are, and he'll have all of that to deal with. So he won't, but he will be given more time than he would be if it was just Abramovich, who doesn't say anything, he just, you know, wields the axe. Hmm. Like some kind of reaper. Reaper Abramovich.
Who do you think will end up... are we drifting off subject? No. Who do you think would end up going there? Because it's... I mean, I think what his move to Germany proved is that it's a poison chalice. I mean, we all know it's a poison chalice. There's no big revelation there. But which manager in his right mind, apart from Benitez, is going to go there? Because you know you're only going to get 5 minutes, and if you don't win everything, then you're never gonna hang around.
Really. I'll have a crack at it.
Yeah,
I'll give it a go.
I'll give it a go as well. Yeah, actually, well, yeah.
I'll be relatively cheap as well.
Yeah.
Well, by comparison to others, my lack of experience I'll be happy to compensate for. But yeah, I'll give it a go, 6 months. What a laugh. We should do it. They should appoint the Sound of Football as the next manager of Chelsea.
But of course, what happened though?
We'll get Chris to Skype in as well with some tactical advice.
Yeah, we'll have a little laptop there. We'll hold it there, just like Mourinho did.
We'll have Chris showing old programs from the 1970s to inspire.
Yeah,
the
problem is though, Terry, is that the fact that the fans would then listen to all the back episodes of the Sound of Football, then we'd be more hated than Rafa Benitez, wouldn't we?
The Sound of Football, more hated than Rafa Benitez. See, I'd go for that. I'd
go for that. Hey, if Rafa can put up with it.
For half a million quid over 6 months, yes, I'll take that.
So there you go. And I'm sure he's listening. I heard that he's a big fan. So, you know, you expect a knock on the door.
I think his lawyers listen, at least, anyway.
Yeah, well, he's a lovely man, and he's never done anything wrong in his life.
No. Never.
I don't really know. The thing is, it's all rather baffling. I don't know who would be. The latest speculation seems to be David Moyes, which I find strange.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's a retirement fund for him, isn't it?
But you are, yeah, that's true.
He'd only sign. I mean, I think anyone decent would only sign if they were just guaranteed £10 million, and whether or not they had to work 3 years to get it. Or not.
But that's rubbish, because what's happening now is a danger that Chelsea are in danger of signing managers who are seeing them coming.
Yeah.
You know, Chelsea don't, they shouldn't have that. Their fans...
What, like they've done with players?
I was
going
to say their fans don't deserve that, but I think I'll just pull back on that. But their fans, I mean, you know, that's harsh. I mean, this is a proper football club. They shouldn't be in a business where they're now employing basically what am I saying? It's been rubbish.
It's Chelsea, come on, look.
Yeah. No, it was ever thus, wasn't it, with Chelsea. I mean, they're always, there's kind of sort of like fake sheen about them because they're from King's Road and they fancy themselves a bit. But anyway, let's cast aside parochial prejudices, shall we?
No, that's what we're here for. But One thing that I do find is the whole Rafa narrative that's been going on through the press. It's been stoked on and on and on in the press. And now, you know, now there is no apparent person coming next.
Mm, it could be him.
It could well be him.
Because they can't find anyone else to do the job.
Exactly.
Apart from the Sound of Football, obviously.
Well, obviously, apart from the Sound of Football, which have thrown, like, we'll find a hat and we'll throw it in the ring.
We'll find a ring and a hat.
Yeah.
I think I can find
And as soon as
we're not, you're not throwing a hat in my ring, that much is absolutely
And then we'll all jump on the managerial merry-go-round.
With our hats in our rings.
Yes. try not to fall through the relegation trapdoor.
Indeed, yeah. And hopefully make it through just in time for the transfer window to shut. So.
And any other number of actions that will happen.
I know Diego Simeone is being mentioned. I think he's the guy at Atletico de Madrid at the moment who's... pulling up the odd tree there. But then, you know, if you've got Falcao on your team, then, you know,
just so that he could bring Falcao over, though?
Yeah, possibly, yeah. Although, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Falcao went to Bayern Munich at the end of the season, to be honest with you, because I think they quite like him and I think Guardiola would be able to bring him over. So, but anyway, you know, we'll see what happens at the end of the season when that happens. But there could, yes, I mean, that could, I mean, yeah, well, we've talked about that enough. Let's move on.
Well,
but,
I mean, so...
I mean, from England, I can't think of a single coach who would be up to the job who isn't hopelessly unavailable. You know, I mean, Arsene Wenger might do the job, but he would never do it for obvious reasons. Sir Alex Ferguson could probably do the job, but the idea is just daft and bonkers. I mean, but those are the only people that I can think of. Maybe once upon a time, Martin O'Neill's cachet was such that he might have taken a job like that. If Paul Lambert was getting it right at Villa, then they might look at him and think about him as a potential replacement, go for the younger guy. Well, the other, of course, is Andre Villas-Boas. He's quite good.
Oh, yeah.
He won the treble with Porto, and he's doing a bang-up job at Spurs.
He'd be a great fit at Chelsea, wouldn't he?
Brilliant, yeah. Worked really, really well. Yeah. Because they'd have that kind of Mourinho thing going on.
Yeah.
I don't see any problems with that whatsoever. No, they should give him the job.
For thought there.
Yeah, the amnesia from last year is coming along nicely, by the way. thanks for asking.
Yeah, that's one of Abramovich's men will come round and shine a light in our face now.
Is that before or after he offers us a job?
So, how long should a manager actually be in the job? I mean, like, we've got a Premier League of 20 teams. How many of those managers that start the season, should we realistically expect to be in post of their own volition at the end of the year?
I mean, I think the only way to guarantee that is to get yourself an 8-year contract.
That does seem to be the best way of guaranteeing
pressure's off.
Your job, isn't it?
Pressure's off, and you know, you can go buy yourself a nice island in the Caribbean. When you do get sacked and not care.
Yeah, I mean, do we think it was a typo? Do we think Pards got opened up the envelope? Look,
what was it supposed to say? Three?
Maybe it was 2016 and it was like 2019 instead.
It's a bit like Brazil. There's going to be some kind of hideous chain of events that goes on, and he's going to end up locked up in a loony bin or something.
Maybe the guys who actually wrote it out all believed in the Mayan stuff about the fact that the world was going to win in 2012.
That's right.
Yeah,
jokes on you, we'll be dead in the year by the end of the year.
Yeah, sure, Alan, we'll see you here for 8 years. Yeah.
For all the good it'll give you.
Look at
him, mug. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, they're all sitting there now in the Newcastle boardroom with their big Mayan headdresses on going, I don't know about you, but I feel like a bit like a chump.
That's how I always imagined the Newcastle board to be.
I've got pictures for you.
that does sound like a stag night in Newcastle.
This is why chairman makes such rash decisions. So, like, you know, if they're dressed as mine, what the hell is the boardroom of Chelsea dressed as?
Oh, well, I wouldn't like to say as grim reapers.
Yeah, I was going to say dark and satanic.
Or they dress like that scene in Star Wars.
What, with all the red cards and everything?
The red cards.
Oh, no, no, the Red Guards, you know, in the Emperor's place.
No, I'm thinking in Star Wars, in A New Hope. Oh, no, right. I find your lack of faith
disturbing. Oh, right, in the beginning of
this. It's probably like that. Yeah, it's probably...
Do you think he strangles people from the other side of... He skypes in and strangles and you got his Skype.
Yeah, you go
from his massive yacht.
I find your lack of points disturbing.
Something like that. Yeah, you've got Peter Cushing and you've got that guy from Boone. Yeah. And you know, the other sort of like English character actors that they wheeled in there to do that one scene before sending them off again. Yeah.
I'm sure indeed. That's how it works in there. Yeah.
Fear will keep the local clubs in line. Fear of this club. And so on.
Fear of my yacht.
Fully operational yacht. Anyway, let's not do that.
That's not an island, that's a yacht. Don't be silly. It's too big to be a yacht. It's pulling us in. It's right. No, no, it's a tractor beam.
Save this baby writes itself. Yeah, well. Save it. We'll do this at Christmas. Okay?
Actually, in fairness, George Lucas wrote this. Yeah. But,
Yes. Well, we've had a lot of fun because basically everyone who's been sacked has actually had a lot of money given.
Yeah,
to
they've
them,
all been paid off. No one goes destitute. In this particular sack race.
Yeah,
everybody wins. So
it's all quite fair, really. I mean, like, these people get a lot of money. They don't have to go to work. They can get a cushy deal on like turning up and punditing.
Exactly, yeah, they'll do a little bit of punting and they'll realise that it's rubbish.
And they'll realise they have to sit next to Jamie Redknapp.
Indeed, or Matt Letizier. Nigel Atkins and Matt Letizier the next time Southampton play on Sky.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be
a
lot of bitterness in that room.
Because apparently Letizier's not... doesn't have a good relationship with the club hierarchy or something like that. But I don't know. This is all stuff I hear off the radio anyway, so I don't know. I don't know. I have no insight.
Yeah. What have I told you about listening to TalkSport?
I don't listen to TalkSport. I listen to Radio 5 Live.
Well, yes, excuse me.
Which makes me all hoity-toity. You'll get you, you la-di-da, Radio 5 Live. Yeah. Yeah, actually, in many ways, TalkSport is more honest, isn't it, really? More honest.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Yes, I think we've got it right there. Right, so, well... I think we're going to have to start winding this conversation up, I think. But so who's next to go, then?
Well, your man Lambert, I reckon, he's in a spot of bother, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, I like him.
Yeah.
He wears glasses.
Yeah.
And he's a modern coach.
But, this week has shown that with Nigel Atkins, that wearing glasses just isn't good enough anymore.
Not these days.
No.
Not these days.
Yeah.
And he took his coaching badges in Germany, you know, so he, again, as we've said before, he's a bit of a hipster's wet dream, isn't he?
This is not a confessional.
He's not, yeah. Innominy Bartri, isn't he? What he's trying to do there, I think, is great, but he's really made a big mess of the whole thing.
Yeah,
and if they get knocked out of the League Cup...
Mm.
You do have to wonder. I think the only reason why he might not get sacked would be because Randy Lerner is too cheap to pay him off. And I don't think that's a good situation to find. So he may well survive. But I reckon that he could be there for the sack race. Apart from that, if you look down at the bottom, I mean, unless Pardew... I don't think Pardew will be sacked because Ashley has put him there to be the magnet.
He said,
look, I'm fed up of all these fans verbally abusing me whenever I turn up the stadium. Here's a big fat contract. Now they can sit there and verbally abuse you for the next 8 years. And so I think that's the whole point, irrespective of what happens. So I don't think you'll go. Mm. What do you reckon?
No, like I said, that's just going to cost them so much money to get them out of.
They may be a termination clause or something like that. So it may not be the full term of the contract.
If he takes them down, yeah.
Yeah, maybe she takes him down.
He's not going to take him down.
You don't reckon they'll go down?
There are a lot of crap teams around in the Premier League.
Well, there are a few of them are twitching. Reading are playing okay now.
Even
quick QPR. I mean, you reckon QPR are going to stay up, Jan? You said on this very podcast, so therefore, it's legally binding.
I think they probably will.
Yeah.
They're only, 4 points from...
So, you know, with those two teams move out of the bottom three, then... unless I'm misunderstanding the situation, they have to be replaced by other two teams. Why wouldn't that be Newcastle?
Yeah. No, it's possible, of course. I just don't.
You don't see it.
No, I think just turn the players, around. And it grieves me to say this, but they've got some great players.
Yeah.
I think they're too good to go down.
Too good to go down, eh?
Too big to fall.
Yes, we have heard that before. And on that, I think we'll wind up this week. It's been great. Join us next week when we'll be talking about even more earth-shattering things.
We'll be probably football.
Yeah. So, from me, Graham Sibley, Terry DeFerman, and Jan Building, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.